Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon, so smooth it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Basic truth about college football that the coach and the player always understood. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. Hope you're just having a fantastic existence today. We're halfway home. Hump day. Transfer portal. Now, I've always said that, you know, just give me some certainty in life. Tell me what the rules are. I had a buddy of mine tell me, in fact, Brandon Adams, he said, don't complain about the rules. Find a way to make the rules work for you. It's like very practical. Appreciate that. And the transfer portal is not worth complaining about anymore because it ain't going anywhere. But I've always thought that consistency, whether the rules were good or bad, let me know what they are so that I can operate. Whatever they are, just let me know what the rules are, because even if it is oppressive or mildly inconvenient or, you know, something else, at least if I know it, then I know what I am going to have to navigate. Hey, be careful, the rapid start. You know, I understand what the rules are if they're just stated and clear. Well, there was always a basic understanding, and I mean, it would actually make news when this didn't happen. There was always a basic truth about college football that not only did the coach and the player both understand, but it benefited them because they understood. Time was, if you brought in a transfer, it was to start. That's the only – if you brought in somebody from JUCO, or there was a kid who had been at Purdue and then he disappeared somewhere for a couple of years and you're like, hey, we're bringing in that tight end from Purdue. You're like, really? You're like, yeah, really. The only reason you would bring in a kid was to start. That is not the case anymore. And like, that's not how it works at all. It was like my understanding of Dan, what's that app where people can watch a Periscope, right? People can watch live?
Yeah, sure. Or Twitch TV.
All right. So I was at karaoke in Birmingham, SEC Media Days, 2016. And I decided that I'm going to sing Jessica Simpson with you. Well, Barrett Salee says, hey, you mind if I put this on Periscope? And I was like, yeah, no, not at all. So he starts periscoping it, and after the 2.5 minute, Dan, were you there that night?
I was, full glory.
Yeah, it wasn't good. But
it was tremendous.
I figured on a live stream, it's just Periscope. People who happen to be on right now can see it, but if they miss it, they miss it. So about an hour after the performance, I start getting these text messages and people telling me that they're watching the performance now. And I went up to Barrett and I was like, hey, wait a minute. You said you're going to put this on Periscope. And he said, yeah. And I said, Periscope, once you like take your thumb off the button, once it's not live anymore, it goes away, right? And first of all, he laughed. Secondly, quote, yeah, that's not how it works at all. I assume right now, Dan, could you go – I tried to scrub the internet. Could you go find if you – and you don't want to. And by the way, I'm not trying to – this is not a humble brag. I just realized this is going to come off like I'm baiting people to go get – no, it ain't even listed on me. Dan, nobody could go see that right now. Is it still there?
I don't know. I'd have to do a little bit of a deeper dive, but probably not.
Okay.
I think the statute of limitations are good.
All right. See, what I thought was it was literally a live stream like Snapchat. That right after Snapchat, it disappears into the, and just woof, gone forever. And Barrett's like, yeah, that's not how that works at all. As he was laughing. Apparently, he got a nice little spike that night in his views or likes or favorites or follows or whatever, bitcoins. Well, that's the rule about transfers. It's like Periscope. Yeah, that's not how it works at all anymore. Where if you bring in a transfer, it's to start. Now, the reason, and it was solid, folks. The reason is that getting a transfer was just a miniature version of recruiting a high school kid. Effort, resources, time, money, number of visits you can have. You know, it was the exact same thing. It was just a miniature version of it. And you weren't as apt to use the time and budget on a player you'd have to replace in 1 year or maybe two versus a player that if you get a high school kid, you don't have to replace him for 4 or 5. You wouldn't do that unless you knew he was coming to start. If it was going to cost you the exact same thing for 2 years or even one as it would for 4 years or possibly five, folks, do the math. If I don't know, AT&T tells you you can have 2 years of cable or you can pay the exact same amount and have 4 years of cable. Yeah, I'll take the 4 years. I mean, it's simple. Unless you knew the kid was coming in to start, and you knew it, and so did he. Essentially, 1 4-year player versus spending twice as much, at least, on to recruit 2 transfers, JUCO, et cetera, in the same 4-year period. So the math is easy. Now, program can get a transfer running back and 2 guys in the secondary, like with the same amount of effort as ordering socks and coffee on Amazon. Assistant coach, I was listening to an interview with, and I can't remember who it was, but it was assistant coach somewhere in Big Ten. And, you know, first rung on the ladder, well, what do? Well, 4 times a day I checked the transfer portal. And that was like 1.5 years ago I was reading that interview or listening to it. It's more now. In fact, you don't even waste a coach's time on this. You have off-field analysts or GAs or somebody assigned to just stare at that thing. And it's like you on Black Friday for the PlayStation 5. Refresh, 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 refresh. So what it was, 4 times a day, constant, real time. I go to Amazon and I move a mouse around, and I click 4 things, and I hit, here they come. I'm going to get some AirPods. Got a new Auburn jacket coming. Fire starters for the outdoor fireplace. And a case of Chardonnay for the wife. Click. Mike Norvell did the same thing, except he got a safety, 2 corners, and a running back. The exact same thing. Florida State brought in 8 transfers in this class. Who knows? The kids are going to earn it, okay? The kids will earn it. 8 transfers. There might be 4 starters among them. And that includes some mystery from a health standpoint for a quarterback in the class, which a program never would have considered in seasons of yore. Dan, when would seasons of yore be?
Let's go 2012.
Okay, 9 years. That's seasons of yore, 9 years ago. As recently as 2012 or 13 or anywhere in that realm. Hey, we're going to take this transfer quarterback. He's got 1 season left. 1. Wow, who is it? Well, he's a guy. He's coming off a devastating injury. We're not sure that if he can even play and take contact, much less win the job and keep the job. But we're going to spend the same amount of recruiting rate. Not a chance in the world. Because it wasn't moving a mouse around and going, hey, look, this kid has notified every program in America, I'm available. That's not how it was. If you were recruiting the quarterback out of Ocean Springs, Mississippi, or you were recruiting the quarterback out of the University of Illinois, it's the same thing. Same thing. Now, I will say, I know that playing is more important than necessarily starting, especially for third receiver, slot, corner, whatever, you know, second running back. So I understand. But not really, for instance, with Florida State. That's for like Alabama or Florida or Clemson. Playing is more important than, like, Georgia. I bet last year's defense, there were probably 16 or 17 players that I would look at and go, he could start. Like, imagine that in the SEC. Like, a good SEC team has a full field, a full 11 of really good defenders. And then they have five or six more guys standing on the sidelines going, when do I get to play? Is this like rec league where I have to play like the entire second quarter? I had a rec league. Yeah, it's been long enough. I had a rec league coach have kids change jerseys. It's the South. Whatever. I got to play. I didn't care. Depth of character was not strong for 13-year-old Chuck. As long as I got mine, I was like an NBA player. I get my touches, I'm good. But for Florida State, yeah, starting matters. They went 3-6. So, yeah, I'm looking at the starter number, at least in the case of the Seminoles. And so I look and see maybe four. And everybody else, they're going to provide depth. You would have never, ever, ever imagined doing that if you go back in the case of Dan. He says 8 years ago or 9 years ago. Yes, I agree. Even less than a decade ago, you would have never considered doing what Mike Norvell might have done four or five times just in this one class.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We had eight officials out here at practice today, but they were calling things at the end of practice. I read out each penalty that we had during the course of today's practice because we've got a chance to be really good, but it's the attention to detail pre-snap and post-snap that we've got to significantly improve in.
That's Jeff Collins. He's Georgia Tech head coach, and he is so right about everything he said. Now, that wasn't a comprehensive telling of everything on Jeff Collins' mind as far as how football goes. He was talking about penalties. They had, I mean, just spilling over with penalties. They had a cargo ship, that one in the Suez Canal. Maybe it was Georgia Tech's penalties that tipped it over. 89 penalties over the course of a shortened season, and way too many. You're right. But he hit on something real important right there at the end. He said, started talking about pre-snap. You can control that. You always can control that. If you're a defensive lineman or a corner, you look in, man, it's right there. It, you know, shove some peanut butter in your ears. I don't know what you do. But watch the football. Pre-snap penalties on offense, false start, delay a game, et cetera. You can control all of that. A lot of penalties during the game. This is where I was going to go. This is not a comprehensive, you know, accounting of all his beliefs. In general, broad, I don't care about penalties. Penalties don't keep you from winning anything. Never have. They can make it more difficult, give you something to overcome. Turnovers will cost you games. Turnovers get you fired. Penalties, I don't care. I do not advocate ever injuring a player or playing dirty or anything else. You light up a quarterback, knock yourself out. 15 is echo of the whistle, and good for you. Play hard, play physical. If your quarterback is about to get lit up, grab a jersey, and I mean like a double handful of you know, Russell Athletic as somebody's going by. If you are beat because you thought Kiaris Jackson was breaking, you know, the slant, and all of a sudden you realize it's a sluggo, slant and go. Grab his jersey. Tackle him. Who was that? I don't know. That player in the Orange Bowl. Or no, the Cotton Bowl. Was it Rice and Alabama playing back in the Cotton Bowl in like the 40s where the guy jumped off the sidelines and tackled the player? I don't care. You prevent a score? It's an extreme example. Penalties, I don't care about that. Turnovers are what will lose games, championships, careers. I'm talking like players, jobs, depth charts, et cetera. So I'm sure if we asked Jeff Collins about that, he would emphasize that as well. But he was talking about penalties, and specifically he mentioned the pre-snap. So that was set up for me to go, no, that was an inadequate quote, and you should have, and penalties don't. He was spot on with it, absolutely spot on with what he said, and then how he capped it with the pre-snap, because you have 100%. I can't handle pre-snap penalties, not one. But you know, they're not perfect. That you can be perfect when it comes to pre-snap. You can be perfect. You absolutely can. And a lot of championship teams, you know what you don't see? Them just handing 5 yards away. Here you go. Go ahead, take it. No, really, you take it. So if you want to be a championship program, that's what I always talk about the 1%. There are a lot of things that are easy. Well, it only makes a 1% improvement. If you will do in any endeavor, personal relationships, professional life, how you park your car parallel, if you will make every like available 1% improvement that takes zero effort, just a little more attention maybe, all of a sudden you look up and you realize there are like 8 of those, and you're 8% better. It works, man. How many more plays? How many times in a championship setting do you see a team that literally needed to make, like the Green Bay Packers this year in the playoffs, to go to the difference between season over and we're going to the Super Bowl was one play. So you can't micromanage that stuff enough. A 5-yard penalty here that you didn't have to give, you could have chosen not to. I absolutely agree with him. What up, Dan?
Well, and the other one, too, is the pre-snap offensive penalties. And when I see somebody false start, and especially, too, you want to upset me even more, do it on a scripted play. Well, we not only practice that, we practiced it so you could make sure that in terms of this being like a Broadway production, your lines were correct and you were ready to go. So, no, that's definitely something that will frustrate a coach. There's no doubt about it. Hey, Chuck, you know, as we continue to get closer to the SEC spring meetings, and at that time it's expected that that is when the coaches are going to vote on, you know, what do you do with the transfer rules, interconference, all that kind of stuff. And that seemingly is something that's holding things up right now because they're waiting on the NCAA as well. What's the NCAA going to say with the one-time transfer? I'm more and more convinced when I hear coaches mention numbers, and I don't remember any other spring that I've heard coaches say, well, we got 107 guys out here. We got 120 guys out here. All these different things of basically trying to say, yeah, hey, guess what? I got too many guys out here. I've got to figure out a way to be able to shape my roster into the way that I want it to be going into the season. So then my scholarship numbers are where I want them to be going forward. And then my roster can be recalibrated going forward with no COVID in the future seasons. And I think that that is something that to me is going to be the most easy path in the history of passes down in Dustin.
Yeah, and also the bigger picture about this one year's roster, and there's a chance they extend the ability to go above 85 into 22. There's a chance. I don't know which way it's going to go. I don't think that's been decided yet. But for the first time, you're going to have players on scholarship leave your program that you don't replace. And so that's a different dynamic as well.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's a Wednesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and if it's hour one, you know what's happening. It's Chris Landry. He is the namesake. He is the force behind LandryFootball.com. I'm going to say this, and there, I don't know any way I could really measure this, but I'm going to give you my opinion as someone who has sampled just about any relevant college football information site out there in the past about 20 years. I've at least, you know, got the off-ramp to the site and then maybe gotten back on the highway. But with LandryFootball.com, it's as good as any football site I've ever visited. And that's college, pro, that's the draft, that's recruiting, coaching changes, all that stuff. Again, from LandryFootball.com, it is Chris Landry. Chris, where are you right now?
Well, I'm back in Baton Rouge. I went to Ohio State, but I'm in Baton Rouge at LSU's Pro Day. I've been to Alabama's the previous Pro Day, but at Ohio State, and made it back late last night to back home, as you know, Baton Rouge, for LSU's Pro Day. So, yeah, it's trying to get a few of these things in without a combine. It's a little different, but we're all adjusting.
And are the teams getting, at least, again, with the backdrop of there are bigger things, but are the teams getting what they're wanting to, given the change from no combine to sort of extended pro days, like Alabama having two, et cetera?
As good as you can. You got to basically, it's pro days, and by spreading it out, and Alabama did a really good job, by spreading it out, you can find a little bit more time for just the guys at that school to maybe meet individually, whereas obviously we could do some of that stuff at the combine and knock it out of the way. I would say that the schools are cooperating and doing a really good job. It's not the same. You got to convert all the times and the workouts, but look, we're getting our job done. It's not normal. It's not, you know, from a comparative standpoint like it normally is when you have Indy, but yeah, we're getting it done.
All right, so people may see a number out there, Ja'Marr Chase, who is a large human, just smoking his first 40. I think it was a 4.38. That's an unbelievable time. Bully for Ja'Marr. Is that really all that different if it was like a 4.45?
No. LSU's track is fast, so you've got to convert that. He's a 4.4 guy. I mean, he's a mid 4.4 guy. He's a 4.45 guy.
And that's okay.
Converted to the Indy 10. Yeah, no, it's none of that matters. 4.3 and 4.45 doesn't really matter. What matters is if you're 4.65 and you're that, then you're going to struggle. So there's a metrics that we look for at certain positions based upon body type that are really important. And just the extra stuff is just, you know, if you ran a little bit faster, or what people don't realize about times, it's not the same. The times are going to be different based upon the surface, and every surface is a little different. The surface at Miami is different than Michigan, is different than LSU, is different than Washington's or USC's or Penn State's or Syracuse's, whatever. So experience will tell you how to convert it a little bit. So when people see a guy ran 4.3, well, there's no such thing as somebody running 4.3. It has to be conditional. And what are the conditions? What's the surface? And again, I often, you know, somebody will say, oh, got him in 4.45 when he really went 4.52. So you got to know how to time. And a lot of this stuff that gets put out there, they come from the agents, and it's often inaccurate. So he ran well. He didn't run on my watch quite that well. As reported, way fast enough. He has no problem with speed, and at his size, he's exceptional. I think he's, depending upon what you're looking for in a receiver, I think he's the best one. I've got the horizontal board up on LandryFootball.com, the initial ones, all the first grade. Mm-hmm. And he's the best receiver, complete receiver in this draft. But it does depend on what you're looking for. He's the biggest of the bunch, and he can really run. And I I think there's a great chance he's the first receiver off the board. And he and Kyle Pitts will probably in the race for the biggest playmakers, with both the Alabama guys going very high as well.
Continuing with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. All right, I saw a little blurb yesterday, and I dismissed it. Didn't even click the link. And then I had a colleague ask me about it, and I immediately dismissed it as well. Now, I'm going to tell you what the blurb was, and I'm also going to tell you I have no information other than the headline, and I was like, that's not happening. That the Niners are all agog about Mac Jones, not in the second round, at number three overall. And I said, I don't have any other information other than that's not going to happen. You would know. Just tell me about this buzz, this resurgence, this spike for Mac Jones, apparently.
Well, there's obviously no, and I know you know this, but for people to know, there's no way he's lasting into the second round. The Niners made the trade for a reason. They moved up to three for a reason. They've got three guys that they really like. And I take you back a few years ago when he, meaning Kyle Shanahan, was with his dad in Washington. They moved up to number two because they liked two quarterbacks, and they knew they probably weren't going to get Andrew Luck, but they liked RG3, and regardless what you think of it, that's going in what they like. So moving sure. to two, they knew they were going to get one of them, and they knew it was going to be RG3. Well, they like three, and I think it's three quarterbacks. They know they're not getting Trevor Lawrence, but if for some reason Trevor Lawrence are there, they'd run up apart at three. They like somebody at three, and I would suggest, I mean, it's either Mac Jones, it's Trey Lance, or it's Justin Fields. I believe it's one of those. But we know it's three players. I can guarantee you that. I think they don't make that move if it wasn't three quarterbacks that they really like. Now, certainly they'll have a preference, but they're comfortable with any one of those at three. And I'll say this, I wouldn't rule it out at three with Mac Jones. Let me say this, and I say this all the time. The quarterback position is so valued, and you look at it, for people who look and say, well, he's moving. He's really not. He's a quarterback. He's very good. He's got a lot of the qualities that a Joe Burrow has, a little bit different athletic traits, but not dramatically different. So, you know, that a lot was said, and probably not disputed as much with Joe Burrow, but let's remind folks where Joe Burrow was prior to his senior year and where he was in last year's draft and how that played out. Mac Jones is going to go high. And right now what San Francisco did was try to position themselves ahead of Carolina. I don't know that that's the pick at three. But three, Carolina at eight, somebody moving up. Mac Jones is not going to last very long in this draft. I can tell you because of the position he plays, and you have to embrace what he is. Pocket guy, get rid of the ball quick. You need a clean pocket. All the things that you need with Joe Burrow, but even more so with Mac Jones. He's a good quarterback. He has a chance. If you put him in a pocket system, he has a chance to be really exceptional. And the what you're seeing is the importance of the position elevates that so much. That's why if you're a team like Miami and you're excited about your quarterback or you really like Tua, you move back and then you move up. The aforementioned Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts or Penasul, somebody's going to be there at six. Somebody that's at the very top of their draft boards are going to be there because the quarterbacks are going to be artificially pushed ahead because of the importance of it. And Mac Jones is a perfect example of that. He's a really good player. You'll see on my horizontal board where I got him ranked, but where I've got him graded and where he's going to go, like every year, is going to differ because of the importance of the position. And 6'4 graded quarterbacks, for example, are going to, which is high second round grades, are always going to be top 10, top 15 players in a given draft, give or take, because of the importance of that position.
There is a scenario then, and this is why I dismissed it, because the – and again – I started this with folks. I don't know Chris will that after the first pick, which Urban the other day is like, yeah, we're going that way. We're drafting Trevor. Mm-hmm. Every conversation until the past few days has been about the next three quarterbacks in whatever order: Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. Under the scenario where the Niners are at three and take Mac Jones, they would be passing on at least two of those. If the Jets take a tackle, they would be passing on all three of those for Mac Jones. And that's, well, that's a possible?
Yeah. No, I think here's what I think that San Francisco, like most people, really like Trevor Lawrence, really like Zach Wilson. I think they expect those to go off the board one and two. So they like at least one of the other three. And I don't know which order, if they like Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones. I don't know how they have them graded on their board. I could speculate, but I, you know, would just be that. They like one of those in the same tier with Lawrence and Wilson. Again, that's why they made the move, so that they're going to get them. Now, if something happens and the Jets surprise folks and Zach Wilson falls in their lap, that's probably who they're taking. I don't know what direction, but I know the reason why you make that move is because you are comfortable with any of the three, and you know that one's going to be there. Yeah. And that's kind of where it is. It's just, we can speculate on they like Lance or Fields or Jones more than the other. ABC, CBA, how they've got them ranked. They're going to be a little coy with that. But by being at three, they knew that Carolina, well, I think Philly certainly was interested in Zach Wilson. I think Philly felt like they weren't going to get him, because the prevailing thought now is the Jets are going to hit the reset button.
Yeah.
And because they haven't built a team around Sam Darnold, that he's going in his fourth year, they're going to hit the reset button and start with Zach Wilson. So if they do that, then obviously they've got their choice of Jones, Lance, or Fields, and we'll see what they do. If Wilson is there, you throw him into the mix, and I would guess that they would take Wilson at that spot. But also, let's say the Jets were to move out of that pick and trade with someone, let's say they don't want to go quarterback, well, they could trade with someone. But the Niners, again, are still in that position to they're going to get one of the remaining players.
Could I ask you quickly about Trey Lance? The conversation I have seen by folks who do this full time, those who have reservations, it's normally about, well, he started 15 games and didn't, level of competition, whatever. What is your hesitation level with Trey Lance, and is it based on those same factors that we all commonly hear?
It has a lot to do with that. I think he's an instinctive scrambler. He's not a great athlete. He's good. He's got, I think, exceptional intangibles. He's got an exceptional arm. I think he has the ability to be as good as any of these quarterbacks, and I think in time. I think the fact that he didn't play this year hurts the progression in his development. But I think he's got elite ability, elite talent, elite mental toughness, leadership skills, off-platform throws, can move very, very well. I think he's very worthy in the quarterback-centric world to be considered taken high. I just think that you have to – I think you look at Lance, and I think you look at Fields. And I think you're looking at guys that are a little bit more raw in terms of pocket development, in terms of experience, whereas Mac Jones is a lot more polished in terms of a thrower. Zach Wilson is a little bit more experienced than polished, and of course, Trevor Lawrence of the bunch. But I think Trey Lance is outstanding. Just a little bit more refinement in the pocket is what I'd like to see, but that's what scouting is. It's projecting. I don't have any problems with them. And I'll say this, and we just discussed it with Sam Darnold. The real key is not who's going to be the best. It's who's going to be developed the best. The real key in all of this is where do they go? Who coaches them? Do they stay in the same system? Or are they – because if you put Sam Darnold coming out of USC in this draft class, the Jets might take him at number two. Again, for the first time. But the point is they dropped the ball on building a team around him. He's looked poor, or he certainly looked incomplete, and they don't trust at this stage, from what I'm gathering from them, is they don't think they can build a good enough team around him to make a decision on giving him the fifth-year option because he's going into his fourth year. So, again, I think they're going to go, if they do it, they're going to do it clicking the reset button. But if they don't do a better job of building a team around him, Zach Wilson is going to be in the same boat. Trevor Lawrence,
yeah.
How well Urban, that's the real key. A lot of these guys have ability, but I think the biggest key is how they're groomed and taught in the league. You take Patrick Mahomes and you put him on a bad organization and a bad team, it wouldn't be the Patrick Mahomes that you know. That's the real key to his success. Ability, utilization, coaching, talent around you, that's what makes you succeed in this league, and that's what I think is often missed. So this draft talk is great, but it is the starting point. It's the launching point, and who's going to be successful is not about, well, you this guy evaluated it wrong. It's more about how you cook the meal, how you develop it.
That is the analysis you're going to get, folks, at LandryFootball.com, whether it's, like I said, college pros or that in-between area, the draft and pro days and such. And Chris has been traveling around to different campuses. We're going to take a quick break. We also have spring practice going on. So when we come back, we'll talk some quarterback battles and developments around the ACC, SEC. That's next with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com.
In today's fast-paced world, your business deserves banking solutions that are as dynamic and cost-effective as you are. Solutions like free business checking from LGE Community Credit Union, free online and mobile banking, no minimum balance required, plus no maintenance fees and dividends on your balance. At LGE, we're a smarter way to bank. See what's possible for your business at lgeccu.org. No monthly maintenance fees. Other service fees such as NSF, overdraft, wire, and stop payment fees still apply. Not all businesses will qualify. Membership eligibility and base savings account that keeps a $5 minimum balance required.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
We got spring games coming up like this very weekend. You know, programs, Clemson's got their spring game Saturday, among others. Big time programs that you know, and some of them, like I don't know that we'll talk much about the Rice depth chart after they, you know, the purple and white get after it. But I think with Clemson, you know, well, who's, I think Roddy Jones is doing that game on Saturday with ACC Network. We should talk to Roddy. But Clemson on Saturday, we got spring games, which means a lot of these quarterback battles, some of them are still being played out, you know, over the next couple of weeks or so. But a lot of them being decided. Talking with Chris Landry, as we do every single Wednesday, bottom of hour one. Chris, let's get back into this and kind of bounce around. Let's give us some rapid fire here. Any surprise coming out of Clemson? What is your expectation for DJU in the coming season?
I think he'll be successful. I think they'll use his mobility. You know, it'll look maybe a little bit different, but with the weapons, they're a little bit more of attention to the run game. I think they'll be very, very effective with him. And what he can do are some of the things that maybe, although Trevor can move, can't move quite like this guy. So a little bit different. Not as good in the pocket, but I think he'll be very effective.
And, folks, remember, there's so much going on. This is actually one of the busiest times of the year on LandryFootball.com because it's pro days, it's spring practice, it's the draft, it's player transfer, all this stuff going on. And so Chris got his head spinning right now. Let's talk about Florida State. They've got their spring game a couple of Saturdays. Any impressions about how it's going with Mackenzie Milton?
You know, really good from what they tell me, the coaches that I've spoken with on really some of the draft prospects, and we've talked a little bit about leadership is expected really good. We just need to see a little bit more. We need to see him stay healthy. Mm-hmm. I think what they like is the attitude, the leadership. That's really where he's helped them a great deal. So they're excited. And I'd say things are going really well, and it's just a matter of where they're going to be going forward.
jump over to the SEC and Baton Rouge. I know Ed Ogeron said, doesn't matter who takes the first snaps. They're all going to get equal snaps when they started. And I was like, let's see how this plays out. There are really only two candidates there, correct? If that's true, how's it shaking out?
I think it's Max Johnson. I think Miles Brennan will get every opportunity, but I think they're very comfortable with both. I think Miles can run the offense, but I think Max gives them a little bit more. So I think it's Max's job to lose, and, I think that's the way it'll play out. But I think that in order to do that, in the process of getting two guys ready to go, sometimes there's a surprise. I'd be surprised if Miles wins it, but if he wins it, it's because he's got a little better handle on decision making. But I think Max, being his background, and I just like that kid's intangibles, and he's got more physical skills and more mobility to do things. And then the health issue has also got to be factored in. He's healthy now, Miles Brennan, but you got to wonder going forward, that's going to factor into it.
All right, folks, we've been talking about this. So I'm not calling anybody out. Chris said it. There are all kinds of programs saying we're having pro day. No media, except Chris. Chris, you've been in Tuscaloosa. What is the feeling? And they still got a couple of weeks, so there's a lot to still be worked out. But what about Bryce Young in this spring?
I think they are excited about what he can do. I worry a little bit about his height, but, I see the mobility and the accuracy is really good. The leadership and intangibles are even better than I thought, which I knew were pretty good when they recruited him. He had some advanced skills. Bill O'Brien likes him. I think that's the real key, and the biggest takeaway I got is, what do you think about the young kid? And he likes him a lot. And, he's very, very hard and very, very demanding on what mm-hmm. they know and how quickly they can decipher it. And he's kind of passed with flying colors thus far. But they're kind of early in the process. But I think they feel pretty good about it. I mean, there's some Tua element to his game. We'll see whether he can be as accurate and as consistent.
Yep, it's funny. I remember asking Steve Spurrier about a quarterback about 10 years ago, and, he found 8 different ways to say quicker. Got to get the snap quicker. Got to make his decision quicker. Got to release quicker. And I was like, well, give him some experience. He's a freshman, coach. Chris, always appreciate it, man. It's great stuff as always. Get back to work. Sorry to bother you so much, man.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Appreciate you having me as always. Thank you. Talk next week.
Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. He's like, he's got to be so much quicker. And it was after an August practice. I was like, what about so-and-so? And he's like, he's got to do everything quicker. Got to get the snap quicker. I was like, I know what he's saying. Got to get the snap and get out quicker. It ain't Friday nights anymore, man. Not when you get into the SEC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.